Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I go by the name of Caution, Mr. 700. Trying to get myself together here today. There's the claps. There they go. My microphone together. We're in the All Over Media Studio offices on this illustrious Saturday morning. Live from Dallas, Texas. It is raining. It is raining. I got a very special guest today. Well, I don't even consider it a guest, bro. We've done this quite a few times now. And like, you know, fuck all that. We got my guy Weston Kirk in the fucking building, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
First time in the new studio.
Yeah, this is a really good vibe.
You know what I mean?
Feels a lot more comfortable than the ones we do in like the business settings.
Oh yeah, it's always very formal. Yeah. Always very formal, man. How's it been, bro?
It's been good, dude. It's been really good. I feel like we've been in this mode of making content and podcasts and all this stuff for, you know, 2 to 3 years. And I've taken a step back for a couple months and just like, it's been great. I don't know. I've actually enjoyed it. We can get more into some of that stuff later, but yeah, a lot has happened in the past month or two.
Well, for those who don't know, my guy has a very great podcast called Happy Hour with Weston. It's been, like you said, how many episodes were you in?
Dude, I don't even know.
I know, it got deep. It got really deep. I know I probably shot about 20 of them. You know what I mean?
No, like, with you, we were at least 30 or 40.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Every week, though, for a damn year and a half or however long it was, it gets pretty
and
wild.
And then we did a few at Mark's studio. Mm-hmm. And then before that, it was just kind of DIY. I mean, those like with Zooms and ones we set up ourselves.
Probably, oh yeah. Not even thinking about that.
At least 50 to 100 of those. So I mean, we've done a lot. Yeah.
So talk about like the motivation behind even wanting to get into like podcasting at that level. It's one thing as a hobbyist to do it on your leisure, free at the crib, throw it on, you know what I'm saying? Do the easy shit. But like to pay for production, put the effort into it, cut the clips. Like, bro, you are probably more dedicated at this shit than anybody I've ever seen at it. So talk about your motivation for wanting to get to that level of it.
To be honest with you, I think I would prefer for it to be like more of a hobby, but I don't like, my mind doesn't work that way, because the second you put yourself out there and start putting things on the internet for other people to view and critique or whatever it is, have their opinions on it, my mind can't just idly sit there while other people have their criticism coming at it. So I'm like, well, guess we got to do production. Right. Guess we got to go spend money.
So I don't want people talking shit about me, about my product if I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? So I might as well do it right. I feel you there.
Yeah. And the more you learn too is like, you know, you want to take the cheap and easy route, but at the end of the day, how you produce and put things out does represent yourself like heavily.
Facts.
And it's hard to see that at first. So the more you put into it, whatever you're doing, the more you invest into it with time, energy, money, like anything of resource, it's going to come out better and it's going to make you look better. So.
Right. Taking the time to put the right kind of energy into it as well. I see a lot of people do that shit. They come in like, hey, I want to do this. They'll sit down, they'll do the first episode, and then like they never do anything else with it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always ask, because I know for one, to put the energy into coming and sitting down and doing a podcast every week, having a guest at that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a guest that I'm depending on to be here as well to bounce information off of back and forth. I'm cutting into my productive time during the day as well, because that's a 2 or 3 hour process sometimes for a 1 hour show. So it takes a lot,
not to mention what, you know, preparing for the show.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, so, and yeah, that's one thing I've learned in the past couple of months is just that, you know, I didn't realize how much money I've been losing just, but not from spending on the podcast, because I don't make money from it. You know what I mean? Just from like not taking my focus off of real estate. Mm-hmm. My production in real estate has gone up so much since
just in that small amount of time where you take a step back. And was that like, you know, the primary goal is just kind of resetting, like, you know, kind of figure out where you wanted to take it and then, you know, come back with it? Or
it's just time for like, reset's a good word. There's so much. My biggest fear is just going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. And I felt like that's kind of where I was going.
You're speaking my language.
I was like,
clip it.
I'm going too fast, and I don't even know if I like where this road's taking me. So there's just a few things that, you know, going to be changes.
That's dope. I think that's one thing I do respect about you, though. You're the kind of person that I've learned that, like, if you have your mindset on something, like, I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to take time and talk to 25 people about it. Like, hey, I made my mind up. I've went over the pros and cons.
Yeah.
I'm moving on. And so I do respect you for that, because it takes that kind of mindset to make progress. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people get caught up on like, oh, well, what about how it used to be? Or like, I don't want to defer from too much of the norm. Or and then you get stagnant. So I do. I have a lot of respect for you. And you're young as shit, too, though. So like, it works for you. Like, don't get stuck in anything. Like, for real, bro.
Yeah, I'm terrified of that, man. So
for real. And you see so many instances of it. Like, you have the blueprints there to like avoid. Like, yeah. I don't want to end up like you. You
know 100%, what I'm saying? Yeah. 100%.
Is that like a big deal, like in your field as far as real estate, like being young and then having, you know, a lot of your contemporaries are probably older, I'm assuming. You know what I'm saying?
It makes it kind of hard because there's like, you know, when I sit here and say that, hey, so-and-so is my parents' age and they're jealous and envious of me, that sounds ridiculous. And most people aren't going to sit there and believe me. Right. So I kind of have to tuck the reality of it or else I just look like I'm arrogant.
So because you're scaling it back.
Okay, chill out, buddy. No one's jealous of you.
Even though it's there.
Yeah. So I just played. Yeah, okay. No one's jealous.
Right. Right. No, that's heavy. I didn't even think about that because even people that I've met from you or through you business wise, they're all older than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I can tell that the company you keep business wise is of an older demographic and like, you know how they feel about, you know, younger individuals and, you know, you only know what you know type shit.
Well, and it's like the younger people are, it's the same. It's different. Okay. It's jealousy and envy, I feel like, from both directions, but they package it differently. You see what I'm saying?
So give like an example.
So like the older people can be a lot more wise and strategic about how they are delivering that jealousy and envy towards you. So they may have a way that it delivers to where you feel like they're being genuine, and they may big you up, they may hype you up, and they may be just kind of, you almost look at people that are like older than you for direction and mentorship sometimes to a degree. So they may use that kind of image to misguide you so that you don't pass them up or whatever.
You could be on the right path and their guidance will guide you off because they don't want to see you.
The biggest red flag I've seen is like, if they come to me, they've never paid me, they've never given me opportunity, but they want to give me unsolicited advice.
Just out of the blue.
Oh, you're just a loving human and you want to help me?
Nah.
We're at war, bro. I know what this is. and you see it a lot, bro. They see it a lot. Crazy. And they like really try to push their ideologies and their, no, like, listen, you got to, I don't have to do anything, buddy. You know? So, and I see that a lot. Whereas like other people younger, my age, they kind of just, they'll pull the, oh, he's crazy or he's this. He's, they try to throw labels on you so that you kind of it almost like they want to affect your identity so that you have to make certain changes that pull you back into the norm.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha. That's an interesting take though. So going into that type of conversation or into that, you know, segue, what would be three things that you would advise somebody going into real estate to be mindful or cautious of?
Like as a real estate agent or buying real estate or?
Let's say as a real estate agent, just being in your, somebody coming in and saying, hey, I want to do what you do.
I guess the first thing would just be like, most people that get into this industry are going to be out of the business within 5 years. 90% are fail in 5 years.
Wow.
And everything that you think is new and creative, we've all tried. Mm-hmm. So I think that the quicker you can just humble yourself and like, just work hard, like treat it like a job. Don't treat it like you're Steve Jobs and you're trying to do some new, you can't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. You're not doing anything we haven't seen.
And then, you know, the thing, even right there, they're going to hate saying that because in their head, they're like, oh, I can reinvent the wheel.
Oh God.
Okay. Those are the people that are going to fail.
Right.
Number two is just like, don't fall for networking with other agents and stuff. It's a total waste of time.
Ah, really?
Yeah, 100%. They think that, agents are going to help. No, the agents that are doing well aren't going to sit here and share all the things that are, like, we're competitors at the end of the day. Like, we are competing for the same market share. Mm-hmm. I don't want to help you make me less money. I want you to go out of, like, I genuinely, and I know this is going to sound horrible.
Let them know.
Dude, I want y'all to fail. Like, I want y'all to go out of the business. I want your clients. I want to win. Thanks. Like, I mean, and if you can lie and say you don't feel the same way, but like,
it's the truth,
bro. Like, I don't want to see y'all win.
Like, I'm gonna sit here and say, I want you to make money that I could have made.
Now, but it's hard for people to segment that, right? Like, in real life, I like you as a person. You're cool. I'd hang out with you, maybe drink a beer with you.
Right.
If you go into another industry, I'd want to see you win. But in my industry, I want to rip your head off, bro. Right. Like, I want you gone. Like, don't even think about coming here. So like, that's just my mentality on it. And if you don't feel that way, then I think that you just don't have enough experience in business.
Is there a part of that that for those individuals, and just speaking as devil's advocate, do you think that there is a sense of like, and we've got not jealousy, but I want to say a sense of like, you feeling like you're reinventing the wheel by having that perspective? Because I don't, do you feel like they outwardly give that emotion the same way you do? So even though they may feel the same way you do, they may not say it. Do you feel like they feel like that's you reinventing the wheel? Because they can want to rip your head off, but then they'll act like I can be your contemporary. We can be cool. We can be friends.
I don't know. I don't think of it like that. I think that in general, I'm more comfortable just like saying that out loud, because at the end of the day, I know I'm out working these people, so they can feel the same way, but I'm still going to rip your head off. Like, we can feel the same way. I think they're scared to say that kind of stuff because they know they're not working that hard.
That's true.
And they're like, well, if I tell him, then he's going to rip my head off before I get a chance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but yeah, if they were working this hard, they'd have no problem saying it.
Yeah. That's the old adage. You can know what a person is doing, but you can't do what they do. Right. Shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You still got to stop me.
Yeah. Shit. Well, and I've had mentees say this, well, if I had money and I had the resources, like, bro, we all started at the same place.
Oh God. Don't understand.
Been doing this for like 7 months, bro. Focus. No. Yeah,
that's crazy though. That's a very interesting way to put it. I never thought about it, but then being aggressive in that market and in that area of expertise for you, it shows in like your results. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So when I see you, it's like, hey, just close, or I'm seeing all the shit mm-hmm. that you're posting. And like I said, I told you a while ago, the way you go about it, social media wise, podcast wise, you have a certain way of like promoting yourself, marketing yourself more than any. It's only you and one other person I see that do that.
Yeah.
And y'all are great at it.
Ryan.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Y'all do it. It's
shout
a great
out,
job.
Shout out Ryan Vice House.
Hey, shout out him.
He's taught me a lot, man. He really has on the marketing side of things.
Love that fucking car. Yeah. Too. Like, you just got to have shit that when people see it, they know it's you. I think that's dope.
Well, and dude, he's so contagious to be around because, you know, like, what we talk about, like a lot of people, it's just like, well, if I put this out, what are people going to say? Like, he's a trailblazer in what he's doing.
Right.
And he makes you more comfortable to go out there and put stuff out because he's supportive. He's going to tell you the truth. And it's like being around him, it's just like, boom, boom. You have people that say, I don't care what people think, or I don't think about what other people think about me. But he truly is a living testament of just like nothing, like boom, boom, boom. Right. Okay. Next. It's not even like he's trying to not think about him, but he's got his mind on so many other things and so many things moving that it's like,
yeah, you know? I don't have time to worry about
and
what
I'm
you
like,
think about me.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just that's someone to model. And you'll know when you're looking for mentors and stuff, like it's just you feel it. That's someone that,
because it's a connection of something that you may be seeking in yourself. Mm-hmm. So like, hey, that's something I want to be better at. So yeah, let me pull that.
And you look at him like, okay, that's a life I wouldn't mind having when I'm his age.
Ah,
you know? Like, gotcha, and then I need to do more of those actions because it's an action-based life, you know? Mm-hmm. What actions did he take to get to where he's at?
Do you feel like mentors are necessary in your field?
I think so. I don't look at it the same way as like get one person. And I think that's scary to me. Like, mm-hmm. like a lot of people just make, you probably don't know, but Tom Ferry, like they make Tom Ferry their mentor. And he's like, it's just the same copy paste and you know, like, and you see a bunch of them and then it's like, I'm not saying there's not good things. There's a lot of good things that he teaches that you could pull from, but I think that it's better to have, you know, a bunch of different people that you take things
because you're getting different attributes from different
sources. Yeah, and you know, if you just have one mentor, you don't want to be just like one other person. You want to be a conglomerate of,
because then you start to get the negatives from them as well. Like, I'm only getting your perspective on everything, and like, nobody's great at everything. You see what I'm
and
saying?
If you think about it like this too, right? Like, this is probably a really weird analogy, but if you look at back in the day, like if we were in the 80s or 90s and we might know one or two rich people, you know, that you could get information, and you're lucky to get information from them. Mm-hmm. And so when they tell you that information, you're like, okay, there's only one or two ways to make money. And if anybody tells me that, it's going to be skewed. Right. But with the internet, it's this big collective consciousness that you're pulling from. That's like, okay, there's a bunch of different ways to make money. What's the best fitting way for me that creates the less amount of friction? So I look at mentors in the same way of kind of have a bunch of them that you can get this collective consciousness to, you know.
Gotcha. That's effective too, though. Yeah, I think that's a good way to go about it. What would be the things that you consider positives going into it? Not that you expected, but that you saw as you got into it, like things that maybe caught you by surprise. That
in real estate?
Yeah.
I would say that I think that your biggest quote weaknesses turn into your biggest strengths, and you have to stick it out long enough to kind of see that. But a lot of things about me I probably used to be ashamed or embarrassed about ended up being the things that like set me apart from other people.
Gotcha.
You know, for like, I've just taken a lot of L's, dude. I've embarrassed myself a lot. And to the point of it's just like, you know, well, did it again. Like, you don't even have an emotion tied to it. It's like, well,
I don't have any shame.
You're just so quick to move on. And that like quickness to move on over time and having people laugh at you and you know, poke joke, whatever, feeling isolated, whatever it is. It's like, you just learn. And maybe, I don't know, you learn ways to move forward faster. And
that's a fact.
And too, like, I guess another thing is when you see that maybe image that you put off from having those experiences, maybe like some people don't want to associate with you after that. You have to learn how to go make new relationships and new associations, and that ability to go form new connections is another big one. That
is a big
deal. If you would have got to keep on to everyone that you loved or whatever, then you wouldn't have had that skill
grow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no growth there. No, that's a dope perspective as well. It's dope that you've learned that in such a short period of time. You've been doing this for how long?
Five and a half years.
Yeah. Is it? You're how old?
28.
So you got into it as a fresh 23-year-old, probably tried college.
I was in college, yeah.
In college, going through that. Yeah. You know, 23, I'm trying to think of like mind frame where I was. It was just on like women and partying and like experimental drugs. You know what I'm saying? Shit
like that. Hey, me too, bro.
So for you to be able to like, you know, to get where you are at this point, what's on the list of things that Weston wants to accomplish within the next 5 years?
I just you know, it's crazy. I really like, I don't think about that too much. I'd like to buy properties. I'd like to, I have monetary figures of income I'd like to make per year and how much I'd like to sell. And, but I really just look at like, man, today, how much can I get done? How can I meet the most people? How can I get more people to know my name? Fair. How can I sell more? Like, I think if I just do that every day, a lot of people, I'm not like putting off this 5 year. I don't need a 5 year anchor to be like motivated, bro. I just gotta I gotta wake up. And then if I'm, you know, boredom motivates me, or like,
no, hey, fact. I'd probably say the same. I couldn't say like, hey, in 5 years, I want to own five different podcast places.
You're probably happy doing this.
Facts.
You know,
you see like, what I'm saying? So it's like, I want to make this the best that I can make.
And this is for us, honestly, probably one of the most fun times we're going to have, because we don't have the stress of managing too much.
Facts.
We have that kind of like, it's a fresh thing.
That's exactly what it is.
There's more like hope than fear. Mm-hmm. Like there's more excitement about the future than fear of loss of what you built, you know?
Definitely. That's a good way to
do it. So I try to like enjoy that versus
having some goal that I'm chasing. You know, some moving goal at that, because things always fucking change.
Right.
But no, that's dope. I definitely wanted to touch on some of those things, because I feel like we shoot the shit all the time and it's never like, I never get to ask the questions I want to ask about that shit. And I'm like, damn, I wish, like, if I was interviewing him right now, this is probably what I would ask him. So I think that's dope. But let's talk about one of your other passions, bro, which is music. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What you listening to, right? What's on your playlist right now? And I'm talking about whatever. It doesn't have to be. It can be whatever it is.
A lot of Meek Mill, bro.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of Meek Mill.
What's the bombs for that, bro? Listen.
I don't know.
I'm a Meek Mill fan. I'm one of those people that even when Meek was going through his phase of like dissing Drake and being embarrassed, I was still on his side, kind of sort of. I'm a Drake fan, but I still rock with Meek's music. So that's interesting. Who else you got?
I was kind of like, I didn't know how I felt about Drake's.
You know, it's great. I haven't even listened to it.
It was, I mean, I liked it, but it's not like, I don't know.
Singles are like really off-putting. Like and so a lot of times, like, I don't listen for singles to make me want to listen to an album.
Yeah.
But I listen to them sonically to hear where you're going.
He just sounds like he's over it, bro. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm Drake. I'm at the top. Here's another bar. Y'all are still going to stream this 200 million times. Like, that just sounds like every song to me.
Because the Rich Baby Daddy shit they put on the radio, I was like, ugh.
Oh, my God, dude.
The fucking Slime You Out, I was like, ugh, I can't do that. But then, like, I heard a couple of album cuts.
Virginia Beach was, I like that one.
I heard Virginia Beach. I heard the shit with J. Cole.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, those are like my typical Drake type of songs that I listen to an album for.
Yeah. Away From Home was good, but you know. What else, dude? I've really been heavy on
trying to think of what else.
I was going back and forth with like some country and then some rap. Like, oh, Russ, dude. I'm always big on Russ.
Russ. Okay. Who in country are you big on?
I like Ben Burgess. I like obviously Morgan Wallen,
right.
George Strait. I mean, I like the old stuff too.
Okay.
Zach Bryan.
Okay. If you had the chance to interview any artist right now, who would it be, dead or alive? Doesn't matter who it is.
Anyone dead or alive?
Yeah. Happy hour with Weston. They pulling up wherever we are. It's a tough one.
It's so hard because, like,
mine would be Kendrick Lamar.
Dead or alive, I would probably have to say Mac Miller.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about Mac. That would be a super dope interview, though.
Yeah.
Personality-wise, I can see it working. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it working.
I would definitely, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's dope. I always felt like the best interviews are always the ones that are, like, unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't expect it. Like, I don't do a lot of, like, the standard podcast type interviews, bro. I can't. Like, if you're just gonna go interview whoever the local artist is in your area right now, I'm not watching that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I need you to interview people, and it doesn't have to be famous people either.
Right.
It's just the style of interview, like the question asking, the person you're talking to.
What do you think that is?
As far as what?
Like, cause I guess, like, for me, I feel like the reason that is because you have, I think the people that are having the conversation, because mm-hmm. they come from maybe different backgrounds or have, they may have the assumption that they're going to see things a bit differently. There's almost like a level of excitement to figure out that there's a lot in common in the middle of the conversation. So it just brings the energy of.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the interviewers, they put more time into, oh, let me go look at this person's bio and ask them questions about, like,
right.
shit that everybody's already asked them. You see what I mean?
Right.
For me, I think the approach has always been, I'd rather not know a lot about you.
Yeah.
Because I'm finding out as I'm asking you. So the questions are genuine. If I got to go to my phone and be like, so when'd you start rapping, bro? And it's just like, now I'm turning this shit off, bro.
Does that ever get you in trouble? Because I know that that's a hard place to come from as an interviewer, because I know sometimes, like, people being interviewed mm-hmm. are expected you to know everything. So if, like, you're asking it, you know, you want to make it look good. And, like, because honestly, it's like you're doing them a favor, because there's going to be people that have the same questions.
Exactly.
But they're like,
you know,
come on, bro, do your research.
Nobody's ever.
Really?
The wildest statement that people make every time I talk to them is, this is probably the dopest interview I've ever had. And it's only because and the approach of it is always, now I'm never going, I got some stock questions in mind that I always throw out if I need, like, some fillers.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'll do my research. I'll look you up online. I'll listen to a couple songs if I don't know you, right?
Right.
I really don't interview a lot of artists whose music I'm not familiar with either, though. So I guess maybe that'll contribute to it, too. The ones that I have done, though, even when I have, like, the questions prepared, bro, it's trash. Like, if you just got people that are bad interviews. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just bad interviews. There's nothing you can do to fix it.
Yeah.
They're dry. They give you little information. Like, that kind of shit, I'm quick with. 15 minutes, you're not finna waste my time, bro. Like, I've had those. We do a lot of rapping, so we have guys come in and rap. Those get kind of tough.
If you drag those on, you make yourself look like an idiot, because you're like, you just have to, well, so anyways.
Getting that dead silence.
They just gotta sit there like,
nah, bro. Nah, I can't do it. I'll cut an interview short quickly. Like, I'll cut that shit completely short. I've cut, like, freestyle short when, like, dudes are trash, or if I give you too many chances of this, like, facts.
You're good, bro.
Yeah, that's it, bro. You got enough. You did enough. Like, we good. I'm not gonna keep wasting time. There's so many things I'm wasting right now. Camera space.
Save the bars, bro. Save the bars.
We had a guy come here one time. We were doing, like, kind of an open house type of freestyle thing. Just pull up if you want to rap, right? A guy pulls up in a, what do they call it? Like, the toga parties?
Come on, man.
Yeah, head to toe. He had sandals and all. And he was super trash. And so we sitting there. Rakim is there. He can attest to this if you're watching this. Let him go through his shit a few times. And then I just cut the camera off. I'm not going to keep going, bro. Like, you're not finna waste my time, bro.
What'd he do?
He stopped. If that was it. I was like, all right, I think we got enough, bro. That's cool. Like, because he was trying to freestyle and it was just bad, bro. It was all bad. So, no, I don't like to play those games with people, bro. I do a certain level of preparation. I just hope people come open to answer questions. Because if I come into it and I notice I listen to two or three songs and it sounds like they're all emotional and, like, about mental things. And so now my question's tailored around that. So these seem kind of deep, bro. Like, where's the inspiration come from? Is that the kind of person you are?
Yeah.
And it takes one question to open up a whole. And then sometimes people will just start talking. You see what I'm saying?
Should we talk? We could talk a little bit about that if you want.
Oh, I'm definitely
Because I was watching one of your clips the other day, and the guy was talking about mental health. You deal with a lot of people that are like anxious and depressed and stuff, or?
I think the nature of the business makes you that way because of the expectation, right? So
what expectation?
To succeed.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I think in music or entertainment especially, you feel like you only have a few shots when that's like the dumbest outlook to have.
Right.
So like every swing you feel like has to be a home run.
When really you could put as much out as you want and
let it travel and do its thing.
That's so funny because like that's whole Rick Rubin's whole philosophy is to like remove the expectation.
Mm-hmm. But that's damn near impossible when you see everybody getting like the instant gratification type of success and like, you know, that the TikTok fame or the social media fame that translates into, you know, whatever. Like, and that's kind of what he was talking to because he, like you said, he had a single that hit like 15 million plays. So it was technically viral. It's on NBA 2K. It's on all this shit. And so in his mind, it's like, oh, I made it. And then it was like, well, where's the money at? Or, you know, and then he was like,
That was my whole point, dude. And so I'll give an analogy because like we're in separate industries, but it's a similar concept. That's one of the reasons I've stepped away a little bit from the podcasting and that kind of stuff, because I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. I'm selling more volume than you nerds. And like, I'm making way higher quality videos. And for some reason, like, y'all don't like me as much as y'all like homie doing a dance at an open house that hadn't sold a house in a year. Like, what is going on here? Like, I don't
That's true.
And I was like, well, clearly likes and all this other stuff does not translate to sales. Oh, so man. If I had to choose between the two, what would I rather have? Sales or likes? Sales. Like, I'd rather get paid than sit here and be liked by people that honestly don't even probably like me. You know what I mean? Like,
that's crazy, dude. The whole
internet stuff is fake.
As a parallel, that's kind of how I got to where we are now. Because I went into the podcasting world thinking, oh, I'm going to get all the likes. They said, you get the however many subscribers, 1,000 on YouTube to get monetized.
Yeah.
Facebook was you get 10,000 likes on your page. You can go from there. So I'm like, all right, that's what I'm going to do. I got 5,000 on my Facebook. I'm like, I'm moving. Right. You know, and that's what we're doing. And then I realized one day I met a guy. He was a podcast consultant, right? Mm-hmm. And he's making money off of us, like just telling us how to run our podcast.
Who's really winning here?
I was like, why don't I just do what Zach is doing? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Zach. I remember you, bro. You inspired me. Yeah. Because I was like, he's just cutting clips of audio and sending it to us. He's listening to our episode, telling us do this. He's telling us shoot it here, have this kind of edit. And I was just like, well, why don't I just do the production side and I can make money quicker? I don't have to wait for fucking subscriptions and likes and all that. So it's crazy that you say that because that's exactly how I felt. Like this shit is like, it's for the birds for me. Like, I want to make money and I want to make it substantial enough to where people come back. And I can't really do it the other way.
Here's something I posted this the other day. It's just like, if you think about it, what it really comes down to is like, what's the product?
Mm.
The product isn't the likes or the comments or the money you're trying to get. The product is, you know, so if the end of the day, like all this is, should just be marketing.
Facts.
So I don't need you to like anything. If I post it, I know who my followers are. And I look at analytics. I know you saw it.
Uh-huh.
If you saw it, you're thinking about me. And if you're thinking about me, my marketing's working.
Facts.
You know?
Facts.
So I don't need nobody to like it. I need my phone to ring and I need to go sell, you know, houses. And the thing is like, I'll get messages or calls like indirectly from them, me being top of mind, but the post will have 2 likes or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
facts.
It's like, it doesn't matter. Likes don't matter. But
they don't.
If you're so focused on, I mean, it's almost like the less likes, the more you get paid. Like, to me, like, because...
Because it's all in the insights, right? So you can see who saw your shit, like you said, how many times it's being watched and all that. And I think if you know your target demographic is working because you see my shit on the timeline.
Right.
I know you see it.
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal for both industries when you think about it, because there are those people that just see it and they want what you do, but they don't want to openly say so. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Why don't you want people to know that you fuck with me? You see what I'm saying? But you'll do it privately. I talk to so many people in messaging and DMs about podcasting. I have other podcasters that reach out and be like, hey, you see that
exactly
one video?
What you're talking about.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but like, no, why do you do
that's
that?
That's always been a big
question. That's like, a weird, that's some weird
you can't
shit.
You can't ask people that in real life because people don't understand.
No, they don't.
Like, people don't understand that's a thing unless you're doing the podcast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, man, it's definitely been dope. I never knew there was an industry for it. I'm not going to lie to you. Finding out that there was a complete industry. And shout out to my guy, Mark McCray, because he's the one that showed me there was an industry for this shit. And I learned a lot from him just as far as, like, how to put this shit together and how to, like,
monetize everything you fucking do, bro. Like, yeah. He just used to tell me, he always be like, oh yeah, you still too nice type shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, somebody stayed over a little bit longer, like, he go, hey, it's time to go. Me, I'm savage, just kind of chilling. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, they'll come out when they come out.
No.
Or if they want to do a half hour of the video, hey, did you charge them for that extra half hour? And I'm just like, fuck, I didn't. I just charged them for the first. And I'm not thinking in the motion of like, they're getting what they want. Why are you taking less? Like, making this shit a business was like a big fucking deal for me, bro. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's the one thing I love about business is it all translates over. No matter what the industry is, that business is the same. Mm-hmm. It's just a different product, mm-hmm. you know? Because that's the same with me, man. Like, it's the exact same. Like, I have clients ask me all the time to do stuff that's not going to necessarily pay me. But there's the balance, right? Like, what's worth building the relationships so that they come back long term, and what's mm-hmm. worth that, like, now... There is a balance to be found. I'm still finding it.
All right. That's dope, man. That's dope.
There's so many similarities.
Yeah. So how long? We'll be at 30. Anything you want the people to know, man? Give me something that's going on with you, man. Talk to me about something.
When is this coming out? Okay. So yeah, I'm making a big switch.
Okay.
I'm switching companies. So I've been working for EXP for about 2-3 years. And yeah, I got on with a really cool, it's called Select Label Realty out in Frisco. I'm switching over on the 6th. To be honest, I would have switched sooner, but I've got a lot of deals that I'm working under contract. And if I switch too fast, they're going to take money from me, or mm-hmm. they could take money. I don't want to say what they would or wouldn't do, but they have the potential to have me experience, quote, significant financial loss.
Say that again.
Significant financial loss. It's in the so, agent agreement. So
doing things the right way.
Yeah. So that's obviously why I kind of paused a little bit to mm-hmm. answer. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. The office is literally like across the street from me, so I can walk there.
Oh, that's dope.
Really good team. Like I'm really excited. Big group of people.
Like, what inspired the change?
So my team where I'm at has been great, and like I'm really grateful for like everything they've obviously done for me up to this point. But there comes a point where it's like, okay, there's from this point forward, I need help with different things than what I came here for.
Right.
And obviously, I mean, I just there's no community, there's no sense of like we're not doing events, there's no acknowledgement, there's nothing. It's like there's no, it's just waking up like if I feel like I'm working a 9-to-5
on a hamster wheel,
and I didn't risk those things I have and work as hard as I do to sit here and feel this, you know what I mean? Like and
that's what I was trying to get away from.
I think too that I just have I have different values and different perspectives than the people I work with, which makes it really hard,
right?
Because like when you do, people want to sell, like when there's conflict in that, people try to sell you on their ideology so that we're on the same page. And it's like, I can't keep like, I worked hard to earn this ideology.
That's heavy.
In perspective, I'm not going to backtrack. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I called Natalie out there at Clear Title, and cause she's like a beast at getting out there and meeting with agents and companies. And I was like, hey, I'm thinking about switching. Who should I go with? And she a couple of recommendations, and then she got really excited about this company. And I met up with them, not even with the full intention. I was like, I'll hear them out and just see like if it feels like, you know, but I didn't think I was going to switch as quickly as I did.
Right.
And I heard her out and I was like, what am I doing over here, man? Like, yeah.
Absolutely. I was just about to say what inspired you from them? What did they show you or present to you that made you say, was it the opposite of everything you were looking for?
I think it's like, first and foremost, before I even mentioned that I wanted to do like events and like be around people and stuff, like just like team celebration stuff. Like I want to go win and then celebrate with people that we work together with. Like that's what I need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And without me mentioning that, she's like, yeah, we've got this going on. And for Thanksgiving, we got this big dinner going on in December. We're going to San Diego in January. Mm-hmm. We're like taking top producers to Cabo. Like, so like she celebrates the people, like she's clearly there's effort. I didn't even bring it up. That was one of the biggest things for me. And two is just like, when we're talking, it's almost like we were finishing each other's sentences. Like we're just on the same page.
Compatibility.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's not like that where I'm at right now.
Right.
It's where I'm at now is like, we're cutting each other off and you know, like.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now was that and this is me speaking from somebody that knows you in conversations that we've had. Is that kind of the reason why the podcast thinks kind of you're a shift in that, yeah, man, as well?
100%. Like, and again, we'll just say it. Like, I love Sean. Like, right. Sean's great.
Sean, Sean's, of course.
Sean's done a lot for me. This isn't me talking bad, but this is just, it's just the nature of it, you know?
Right.
There can be no time wasted and no fat if you want to be the best at what you're doing. And I feel like there's too much time being spent just and differing opinions and different values. And, you know, like I've, there's only so many times I can bring something up before, like, okay, if you're not making effort to change certain things on this, then I can't keep, I mean, what is it? It's the saying, like, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, you know, and I'll just be very honest here. Like, so whenever, on the switch of companies, I had brought up multiple times, like, I wanted to do stuff with a team and this and that. And he's got a family. He does this kind of stuff, which I respect. Like, everybody has their own thing. Like,
right.
There is probably a better fit for me somewhere else. That's why it's happening. But he didn't, he's like, I don't work evenings. I don't work weekends. And there's no, it's, you know, there's no open mind to that at all whatsoever. That's important to me. So, like, it's just, what are we going to do?
Clash of, you know, the way we do business.
And as far as the podcast deal, I think that he had this expectation that's just like, and I've told him this, like, that's just, I can just kind of put it on autopilot and not worry about it. And, you know,
yeah, I know there was a few times he said to me, like, hey, I'd never seen any one of these episodes. And we were already like 10 or 15 episodes in when he told me. I was like, God damn.
He still,
like,
hasn't.
That's crazy, though.
Like, and, but it's like, bro, like, how are you, like, and the reason that's frustrating for people watching that don't understand is, like, you, well, I'm watching and editing and clipping and preparing every week. Mm-hmm. And half the clips are ruined because, like, you're not noticing when you're cutting people off and you're jumping in when you're not supposed to jump in, and you're killing the, like,
the
suspense of the conversation. You know, it's like I'm sitting there. We're not necessarily having a full, like, we probably talk different off camera a little bit, like, mostly the same, but, like, there is the element of we're going to slowly tell the story so that we build up suspense so that.
Of course.
But when I'm like, yeah, so I was watching the news and Joe Biden did, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like, brother.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think he's good. And I told him, like, I think he's really good at doing his solo videos that talking about real estate. Cause, like, I'm more interested in those than I am the podcast stuff.
I would agree.
My advice would be just like, if he do those, cause it's also going to help his clients and stuff more too.
Right.
But to as far you. As, yeah, man, like we, and I think that it's been a win-win up to this point. Shit.
There you go.
But I mean, there just comes a point where it's like, it some, you know, we've gotten here. Like, at what point is it just going to be at the expense of
facts,
diminishing returns, you know? So
been there, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
Us even sitting here in this space that we're in is a byproduct of that. For me.
Yeah. I'm sure you've had a lot of those.
Yeah. So I definitely understand that, you know, just asking. And I think that's a very interesting concept. So that way, when people see your content going forward, they understand why. And, you know, and it's always good to get the answers from the person instead of having to always assume.
100%.
Yeah. It's no issue. It's nothing like that. It's just time for a change.
And so
I'm the person that believes in, like, what I always call them, generational shifts. I feel like I go through them every 5 to 7 years, right? Yeah. And so regardless of where you joined me in that generational shift, sometimes that may include you too. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you came right before I did this and I felt like this isn't something that needs to continue, it'd be like, well, damn, I haven't heard from you in a while. And it's like, well, you know, this is different now. You see what I mean? And so there's no reason nor rationale that you can explain to people sometimes it's going to make sense other than it's just time for a fucking change.
You know, man. Like, that's all this is, bro. Like, it's all, and even with real estate, like, you have to constantly adapt and move. Facts. And like, bro, the reality is not everybody's going to do that. And the people that aren't, they got to, you know, you got to.
And you're at different phases in life. Like I said, you're still young. Sometimes when people are older, this is the way that I figured out life and how I want it to go. And so I don't want any variations to this because I've maybe seen the variations don't work for me.
Right.
And so, but you still have the wiggle room.
Well, and one thing I would say that a lot of people don't understand how, and this is very difficult, bro. Like, but people have it flipped a little bit because at 28, they're like, got a girlfriend yet? Are you married yet? Like, and they almost cast this, like, you're lonely. And trust me, I'm not lonely.
Right.
At all.
Right.
but they cast this kind of like, so, like, they don't understand that's a sacrifice, bro.
Right.
Like, we're biologically wired to want to have a wife and have kids and start a family. Like, I definitely, that would be great. That would be cool. I think I would like that. But I know what I'm like, those are sacrifices to me that I've made. So if you chose the route of doing that and then you chose the route of, like, you know, because, like, you have kids and you have to make the choice sometimes of spend more time with them or
every day
pursue the business. And what do I believe is going to be better for them? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Some people think it's spending more time with the kids. Some people think it's spending more time with the business. It depends on it's subjective. Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes with, well, what does the wife encourage, you know? Like, so, and then that's going to be another factor.
Facts.
So like for me, I understood that at a young age. Like I watched my brother get married pretty early and like, I just kind of known along the lines of what I want to do for,
I don't want to do
for
that.
A pretty long time. And
that's the crazy part, bro. That expectation for people to feel like what's right for you. That's that is the weirdest thing for me. Like you can't determine what's right for me based on what was right for you. Like my future is not indicative of your past. Stop including 100%. The fucking you just trigger me there, bro. I've had that conversation so many times,
bro.
Like stop fucking putting your expectations on me. Like let me do what I'm doing. Like don't come to me. And I've been dealing with that now, just setting up where I'm at now. It's like, bro, yeah, this is what you should do. You should do well. Just come sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like chill, bro. Like this is what I want it to be right now.
And it's like, you're, bro, by doing that, you're taking time away from making your, if your product is your family, then make your family better.
Exactly.
You're taking time away by worrying about, like, nobody's got it figured out.
Right, right.
Like,
that work-life balance is based, it's all individually based.
Everything good is fleeting, bro.
Facts.
Like, focus on it.
Facts.
Make sure that, you know, don't get distracted by me or what I'm doing or what he's doing or, like, focus on what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, I had that situation. We had a, we used to do, and it's crazy that we even say it, the All Over Radio used to be me, Clark, and another guy. He was very, the other guy was very politically based. Like, he liked to get into those kind of conversations.
Yeah.
And he knew how to push the button. He knew how to get the views from it. But it just wasn't for us.
Right.
You see what I mean? And so I had a conversation with him. I said, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to pivot. You know, we're going to go with what we wanted to originally do, but you can keep doing this. Like, you don't have to break away from All Over. You don't have to stop doing what you're doing. Let's just get another host that fits the bill a little bit more than me. Because all we keep saying is, it's like, oh, Joe Biden's doing, or Donald Trump is doing this. And we just like, damn, that's crazy. You see what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like, this is, we're not serving any purpose here. Cause we don't give a, we, at the time, we didn't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
So, but he didn't want to do it. You see what I'm saying? It just, it had to be with us or not. And so it was just like, well, that concept is dead.
Yeah.
So I agree with you there. I think sometimes you need to, and you got to figure out this shit, bro. Like, podcasting ain't about just information. It's about how you present it. It's about the people talking. If I see a podcast and you look stupid and you don't fucking know what you're talking about, I'm gonna turn it off. Like, or you seem like you don't have a clue of like how to hold a conversation or the dialogue is dead.
The best are the people that do like the first, it's like their first episode, and they look at their buddy, like both people on the episode are as irrelevant as they come, and they sit there and they're like, ah, well, John, long time coming.
Right. No, it wasn't.
From who? Who's been waiting for this?
Y'all too. Yeah, I've been waiting for this.
We've been talking about this for a while now, and it's surreal to be here.
This sports podcast that is so unique. Like, bro, it's fucking 50 million of these. Get to it. What makes you fucking different? And I think that's the thing that people don't understand, is this shit ain't for everybody.
Yeah, that's okay. First piece of advice, if it's your first podcast, just come out. Like, if it's your first episode and you're a sports, say you're sports, you just got to come out and just be like, all right, so this is why I think LeBron James is gay.
Facts. Facts. Yeah. Listen, throw one of these behind it.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be like, oh shit, dude.
That didn't even have to be the basis of the show either. You can say that and move on. He also had 23 points last night and 6 rebounds. And it's going to be like, wait a minute, bro. Go back to that first.
But we're going to get into that minute 23.
For real. You better watch it. All right.
That's when you throw in this. So for those of you who don't know, this is John. My name's and then they're like, I got to stick around to see what.
Yeah, you know. I really want to know what this guy in his mid-30s talking about sports that he's never played has to say. Go ahead and break it down for me, buddy.
I'd be scrolling on YouTube sometimes and look for podcasts that have like 7 views and just like.
Just watch. You know what's crazy? I get a lot of like upstart podcasts on my shit. Like I see a lot of like, and I was like, damn, am I subscribed to these people? But they just pop up. So I'm guessing it's because I click on them a lot.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of people who start them are like smaller budget. Those, for you all to know, you all are what I base my shit on, what not to look like a lot of the times too. So, and I mean that respectfully.
You ever watch it and be like, damn, bro, I came off like
it's cringy. Like, was this us? Like, I always go back and watch it. I'll send Clark clips of our old shit and be like, bro, these clips is cringy as fuck.
Never
like,
again.
We used to do one in front of a green screen and it was very poorly done.
Yeah.
And I saw it the other day. I was like, damn, we look like aliens on this green screen. Like, my head is like funnily shaped and you can barely hear me talking, but we thought we were killing the game at the time. It's like, hell nah. But no, shout out to everybody that's working. I don't mean to disparage your shit on what you're doing, okay? I'm a very positive guy.
It's healthy to be a little embarrassed, though.
Yeah, you gotta be. That's the only way you can get right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you don't look at one of your old videos and be like, damn, that shit looks dumb. It's like, nah, yeah, we can move forward. Let people know where they can find you, bro. Get your information. You know.
Well, Spotify right now, just Happy Hour with Weston. Check me out. Instagram at Weston Kirk RE. That's going to be probably where most of my stuff is going to be going right now. YouTube is temporarily down, but it'll be back up. I don't know when, but
listen, going forward, if you're looking for Weston on YouTube, you're going to find him on all over media. We're going to start doing a show where he can let loose.
Let's
and
go.
Then he can keep his real estate shit over there separate.
I'm down, bro.
We'll come up with that later. We already discussed it in the past. We'll come up with specifics.
Just let me know, bro. I'm here anytime. Thanks for having me though, man.
Definitely.
Obviously, if you're looking for real estate out here in the DFW area, I'm in Frisco, but you know, I'd be happy to work. I work in investments. I work in land, rental properties, single family, first time home buyers, all of it, man.
Trap houses,
all of it, dude. I've got experience with all of it. There's nothing I can't sell. So, you know, even if it's just for help, like any questions, I'm here to help. So
listen, look for my boy. Tap in with him if you need anything. You know where you're at. It's all over radio, all over media studios, 8204 Elmbrook Drive, Dallas, Texas, man. Pull up on me. Peace. Mm-hmm.